60 minutes of fun and music brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste and Salivatica. Ipana for the smile of beauty, Salivatica for the smile of health. Fun with Kurt Supnagel and Bud, music with Peter Van Steeden. And another big amateur contest. New voices, new music, new fun. It's Town Hall tonight! Listen to that. It's an enthusiastic crowd following the parade of the old Town Hall tonight, folks. There go Curtis and Nagel and Bud leading the march, bounding about with the crippled gazelles they are, throwing bonbons to the crowd right and left. It's a big night tonight, so hurry, hurry, hurry. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Here's Frightwig Upjump, the famous journalist. Where are you going, Mr. Upjump?
I'm telling the tale of Interview tonight on Bell. I want to beat down in first.
Fantastic Whistle. Why aren't you in the hall, Mr. Whistle?
I'm supposed to get the final results of the Colonel's campaign tonight. I want a seat way in the back.
And here are Colonel Supnagel and Bud themselves. What's new, fellas?
Hi, Harry. We're getting out our gats to take a few shots at gangbusters tonight. Some shooting, huh, Colonel? That's right.
Yes, sir. A big show tonight, folks. So come on, come all. Everybody's going. Everybody's going. Well, sir, here we are inside the old town hall, all ready to begin the big show. Featuring tonight a scintillating interview with a little man of industry, the final results in the Colonel's campaign, and a Supnagel and Bud burlesque of the popular gangbuster series. But Peter is signaling that he's all set for the overture, and we're off. Four jangles of Harlem. Let it go, Peter!
Price welcome and beyond welcome to Town Hall tonight. This is our farewell appearance here on the stage of the hall, and there's one thing I want to get off my chest, if I may be excused, Bud.
All right.
The Bristol-Myers Company, makers of Sal Hepatica and Ipana, have been the most undissatisfied sponsors we've ever had, haven't they?
You bet, Colonel.
And seriously, if they wanted us to do the same thing over again for the next summer, I like them so well, I'd do it for nothing. Wouldn't you, Bud?
Why, certainly.
Sure.
I'll get that.
Yeah, all right. Hello? Yes, this is the Colonel. Bristol who? You're not interested, I see. Well, goodbye.
What'd they want, Colonel?
I couldn't hear a word the guy said.
Well, maybe they were congratulating us on our new show.
New show?
Yeah, next Sunday afternoon.
On the radio with a sponsor and everything?
Well, of course it'll be on the radio.
Sure. Goody, goody, goody then.
Well, why all the goody?
I've got a radio. I'll listen in.
It's a good trick if you can do it. Now, look, Colonel, I wish you'd sort of give us a few of your new inventions and definitions.
Boy, I was hoping you'd ask me for those, but I've been working on a thing I call my sub-trailer.
Sub-trailer? What's that?
Sub-trailer, believe me. Well, it's a sort of a It's a sort of a trailer that goes on behind a regular trailer that trails along behind car when you take a trip and take a trailer along for a trailer trip. You know what I mean?
I'm afraid you've caught me in a lie, Colonel. Yes, I know what you mean. What's the sub-trailer for?
Well, that's so you can take some other people along with you in it.
Oh, I think that's fine.
The other people are an invention, too.
Oh.
Yeah, they're so you can have people along to borrow stuff from and to talk about.
I see.
Then inside of the regular trailer, I have a telephone to save you money.
Now, wait just a minute. How can you save money by having a telephone in a trailer?
Well, when you think you want to call somebody up, you go ahead and call them up, see? But you can't get them because the phone isn't connected, so that's where you save money. Why, listen, last year alone, I know a fellow who saved enough money that way to set his son up in business.
What business?
The business of selling telephones to trailers that aren't connected, so you can't call them, therefore you save
enough
money
to set your son up. My stars, Colonel, how under the sun you ever think of silly stuff like that is beyond me.
Stars, sun, that reminds me, bud. I've got a series of definitions for the sun and for the stars and for the rain and the moon that'll slay you. You want to hear them?
I was afraid of that. Definition for the sun, rain, moon, and stars.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you promise to let Peter play afterwards, go ahead.
Well, the sun is stuff that you get burned from it.
Uh-huh.
Rain is stuff they call ball games on account of.
Yeah.
The moon is what some mountain has been trying to get up over Cape Smith all this time. And the stars, oh, the stars.
Uh-huh. What are they?
Stars are things that twinkle, twinkle, little, how I wonder what you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. All last week, the Colonel was hard at work, as you heard, in his laboratory on Observatory Hill. And out of a veritable maze of things and stuff has come something. Would you like to explain it, Colonel?
Try and stop me. It's an invention for brushing your teeth, Harry. First, you take a nice, new, big, round brush, and you attach it to your typewriter carriage. Then you sit down at the typewriter, press your teeth to the brush, and spell out how many petals has a daisy. The brush moves along, and...
Colonel, what's the matter with a toothbrush?
Oh, they've been invented? Well, then that takes care of everything.
Oh, no, not exactly, Colonel. Because, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, just brushing your teeth is never quite enough. You've got to take care of your gums, too. Any dentist will tell you the teeth are seldom white and sparkling when gums are soft and tender. That is the reason so many dentists recommend Itana toothpaste. Because Itana not only makes your teeth cleaner and more brilliant, but when used with massage, has the extra advantage of helping tone and stimulate your gums. Just do this.
Every time you brush your teeth with Itana, put a little extra Itana on your brush or fingertip and massage it into your gums.
In that way, you'll give your gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. And at the same time, you'll have cleaner, whiter teeth. So always remember Itana for the smile of beauty. And the Itana Troubadours playing Bye Bye Baby. Now we present the final chapter in the historic campaign to keep Stupnagel out of the White House.
Keep him out of the White House. You can tell what he might do. And find a pick for him in a lighthouse. Or maybe we could put him in a zoo.
A special election of the voters is being held today all over the United States to determine whether or not we shall have Soup Nagel in the White House or out of it. And the jittery candidate sits in his campaign headquarters at Crawling on the Hudson, New York, and reports come in from every nook and cranny of the country. Bud, who has stood by our candidate through thick and thin, high, wide and handsome, black and blue and fire and water, is pacing up and down as telegraph machines bring in the news.
Quiet! Quiet, quiet, quiet here. Whatever you're doing, drop
it. Nice dropping, boys. Now in a second or two, we expect a report from California. Stand by. Well, here it is now. San Francisco, California. From 456 out of 200 precincts, final tabulation. Colonel Lemuel Q. Stubnagel of New York, no vote.
Congratulations, Colonel. Not a single vote from California.
Thank you, Mr. Fiddlestuffer. Thank you. My, but I'm excited. Maybe I won't get into the White House after all.
Hey, is this a campaign headquarters for keeping White Nagel out of the soup house? I got a message for you.
Hey, hooray, man. Listen to this. It's from Dallas, Texas. It says, practically complete reports from 678 out of 200 counties here give Soup Nagel no votes and his opponent 456,678. It looks as though I have a good chance of not winning.
Oh, boy.
Hey, Colonel, they're bringing the Alabama votes in here in an armored car. Here comes the man up the stairs with them now.
Alabama, 24 votes for Underwood.
Ah, well, that's fine, boys, but how about Stoop Nagel?
Who's Stoop Nagel?
I'll get that phone, man. Quiet now. Hello, campaign headquarters for keeping Stoop Nagel out of the thing. Still speaking, Nagling. Oh, hello, Ma. Yeah, it's a fine fight, Ma. Yeah, hope to lose any minute now, Ma. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be right home, Ma. Bye.
Who is that, Colonel?
My father. He wanted to know about the mortgage.
Hey, shut that door! Gosh, a nice cold wind coming in there.
I'm sorry, sir, but you'll have to stand it for a moment. The Alaska vote is coming in.
The vote from Alaska. Well, now, this is fine. I am Captain Bob Carson's vote, and I have come here on my little ship in order to these many long miles between here and the coast of Alaska. There was a vast amount of interest in the voting, and soon they got the vast favorites up in the vast fringes.
Captain, we're all anxious to know, you know, and the thing is pretty close here in the United States.
Every person voted this year, and it was just fine. That's nice a compliment as I ever paid to any candidate.
Yeah, well, who won up there, Captain?
Well, Snoop Nagel is a great favorite up there. Everybody's
Captain,
vote.
Captain,
hey!
Look, what was the final count of the vote?
Everybody likes Snoop Nagel up there. When we were going...
Wait a minute. What? How many votes did Snoop Nagel get?
Minus 42!
Hey, Harry.
Yeah?
During all this confusion, have any results been coming in from the other states of the Union?
Yes, but we've got them. Attention! The total vote. Other candidates, 13,567,000, Bullock, 2. Colonel Stoop Nagel, 1.
A vote for me? A vote for me, Harry?
Yes.
Why, I've been double-crossed. The very idea. Give me that phone. Hello, Auditor. Get me Rhinelander 4, 4422. Hello, Ma. Ah, gee, thanks, Ma.
And now the Town Hall Quartet, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight the boys revive a great favorite of a season or so ago, Louisiana Hayride.
Look for the oyster, dive for the clam, now for the home in the happy land. Is everybody here now?
Yes, indeed.
Well, that being the case, I'll now proceed. What kind of fun does you fancy most? Picnic?
No, sir.
Oyster supper?
No, sir.
Strawberry festival?
No, sir.
What kind of fun does you fancy most?
Jammies get bunch of mighty close.
Don't hold it back any longer, it's a hayride.
Jammer,
it's going to be the energy ride.
So when the old is ready, start up in Louisiana, he rides. No use for calling the road. All I can call is just in the hay. Loving it away, oh, the time is short. Crack a little whip, get your little chip to go. Start up in Louisiana, he rides. No fooling, we all is happy. Yeah, so in Louisiana, he rides. No use for calling the road. Maybe they'll live a life.
Yeah, yeah. blues and cannibal.
I care too.
Bimbo wasn't in.
I'd right here, brother.
He's from Kinley.
I'll care.
And then Tana, Carolina, Donna. More than all here.
Lorinda, Laura and Linda.
Yes, sir, brother, we've all here. Francis Abraham.
I'll care.
Moses Abraham.
I'll care.
We all here. You can see. We all here. Oh, get going,
Louisiana.
Oh, get going,
we all
in
Louisiana.
Oh, stop, stop.
Louisiana.
Oh, that no use for calling the road.
Oh, I like that boat sitting in the hay
and loving it away. Oh,
all the time is go.
Crack a little whip and get your little ship to go. So, stop, Louisiana, hey, right? No fooling, we all is happy. Get going, Louisiana, hey, right? No use for calling the road. Get going.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, boys. Tonight we're going to do one of those man on the pavement broadcasts. And just to make it a little more confusing, we're not going out on the pavement. As a matter of fact, we're not even going to ask questions. We're going to let Harry do it. That is, if he's found anyone who'll let him. Have you, Harry?
Well, I think I have, Colonel. And Mr. Payne, would you mind stepping up to the microphone, please? Right here.
Is this all right?
Well, that's fine. Now, let's see how good you are on observation. Tell me, are the pupils of most of your friends' eyes blue or brown?
Gee, I don't know. Offhand, I'd say blue.
Oh, I see. Would you get mad if I told you they weren't any color? It's the iris that's color.
Oh. I didn't make a very good start, did I?
Well, it's all in fun. Now, let's see how you are on grammar. What's wrong with this sentence? When you're feeling logy and under the weather, Salatonica is ideal to take.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it's right.
And you'll find countless people who'll agree with you, too, including physicians, recommended Salatonica for more than 40 years. Because when you're feeling headachy and under par, two things usually cause it. Waste in your body and acid in your system. And Salatonica is the mineral salt laxative that not only removes waste from the body, but also helps nature combat acidity. So the next time you feel grouchy and under the weather, remember Salatonica for the smile of health.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel stepped off the stage a minute to finish writing last week's show. So now I'm going to take this opportunity of interviewing one of our little-known men of industry. Will you come up to the microphone there, Junior, please?
Yeah, yeah, sir. Come right up. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Priddle. Have I got that name right?
Yeah, Pyramid Joe Priddle is the whole name.
Well, that's nice to know that. What do you do for a living, Mr. Priddle?
What?
I say, what do you do for a living?
I pile a fruit in fruit store windows and pretty pyramids.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot on the bottom and that's the good on top.
So you're the guy who does that.
Yeah.
It must take quite a time to learn to put oranges and lemons and stuff in pyramids that way.
Yeah, I guess I was just a natural at it, though, you see. I was born in Egypt right under the very nose of the pyramids.
You were, huh?
Yeah, my mother was... But my father wasn't. But we lived there on the desert, and sometimes the sand blew in my eyes, but I don't mind the sand once in a while. Look at spinach.
Now look, I know, wait a minute. I know all about
it. Look at spinach?
Yes, I've looked at it. Yes.
Pretty nice.
Look, sort of go slowly with it. We want everyone to understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I get it. Have you ever been to Egypt? It's nice over there, up Nile and down in the tombs and stuff.
Look, did the Egyptian pyramids make you think of piling fruit in that form?
No, they didn't have a thing to do with it. Nothing.
Glad you spoke about them then.
I am too. Yeah. If I were a pyramid and somebody spoke about me, I'd be glad too, because after all, a pyramid can't speak about anybody else, and neither can a sphinx. Most people think that only the sphinx can say anything, but he's got a press agent advertising, you know.
Yeah, all right.
A hen cackles and the duck doesn't, but you use the hen's egg, you know.
Quiet.
Nobody uses duck's eggs.
Look, let's forget the sphinx and get back to the fruit piled in pyramid form, shall we?
Yeah, well, it was like this. I was putting fruit in the fruit store window, you see. I worked in a fruit store at the time.
Yes, you must have. Yeah.
I must have. Oh, I was placing apples here and grapefruit here and oranges there and... So, oranges here and grapefruit over there. Well, anyway, a fellow named Joe Gluck. You know Joe.
Oh, sure.
Oh, great guy, Joe.
Yeah, you bet.
Nice boy.
Joe?
Great fellow, yeah. Oh, well, Joe came along and he kept saying to me, bet on pyramids, bet on pyramids. Pyramid is a horse, you know.
Yeah, nice fellow, pyramid.
You bet.
Yeah, great guy.
Oh, it's a great fellow, pyramid.
Yeah, Joe's a nice horse.
Fine horse, Joe. Yeah, well, pyramid said to me, bet on Joe. Hey, a moment. Hey, who got me missed? Who? Come on, where are we? Who got, well, back again. Well, anyway, when he was telling me to bet on this horse, pyramid, I was gradually
Five?
Yeah, I was gradually unconscious.
Yeah, I can understand the unconscious part of it, yeah.
No, I was gradually, without kicking, sort of piling up the oranges in the shape of a pyramid.
Uh-huh.
Well, Joe left, and suddenly I heard old Frozen Face coming.
Are you the saint I'm talking
to? Yeah, old Frozen Face. Yeah. Who is old Frozen
Face? That's what I'm supposed to
yeah,
say.
Yeah, he's the boss. His real name is Cold Map. We boys call him Frozen Face, but not to his face.
Yeah, just to his frozen.
Yeah, but instead of getting mad at me for shaping a pile like a pyramid, the boss gave Woody up with joy, went to the phone and called the bookie and put $2 on pyramid to win.
Well, did the horse win?
Oh, it's a great race.
A nice race.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, Joe's a nice race.
Oh, you bet. Those pyramids.
Yeah, which do you like best, pyramid or race?
Where was I?
Now, look. Did Pyramid win the race? I mean, that's what we're all interested
in. So now the boss is me doing nothing else but piling oranges and grapefruit in the shape of Pyramid in the window of the fruit store.
Yeah, but what do you do meantime for recreation?
Oh, I've been trying a new stunt. I've been trying for months now to put the Pyramid in the window upside down.
Well, did you have any luck?
Luck, you bet. The horse came in and paid 5-1.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Cedar Van Speeden and the Ipana Troubadours playing Begin the Begin. Now, Colonel Stoop Nagel and Bud present another of their popular burlesques of radio. Tonight, a takeoff on that well-known network radio program entitled Gangbusters. Mr. Philip Slord, when asked by the Colonel whether his permission might be granted, replied,
What can we lose?
Which led the Colonel to believe that it was all right with Mr. Lord. So now, Town Hall takes pleasure in presenting that eminent criminologist, Colonel Ganguel Q. Stoopbuster, and his partner, Bud, in a daring expose. Are you ready, boys?
What can we lose?
Calling the police, calling the genin, calling the train, calling the army, calling the navy. Can't you hear me calling Caroline? Gangbusters,
stories of the police and their unending crusade against crime. Sent to you every what you may call it at this time by Parcels Post and sponsored by that superb product, Spice Binders, the only oatmeal with a true cornflake flavor. Gangbusters gives you nothing but the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
No fibbing either.
Tonight, Philip H. Lord will interview Police Chief Timothy Hay of the Puckering Valley Police to get the lurid details on the crime career of the vicious, atrociously horrible person, Buck Tooth Sad, the Slasher Thorax. But first, let me tell you a few things about wife binder. I asked Mrs. Plush G. Stewart, a hot wife, to answer this burning question for us. When you sit down to your breakfast in the morning, what is the first thing you do, Mrs. Stoker?
I call upstairs to Plush, my husband, and tell him to do down the breakfast, or I'll brain the son of a gun.
Thank you, Mrs. Stoker.
Well, thank you, too.
Well, here in the private office of Chief of Detectives sits Police Chief Timothy Hay of the Puckering Valley Police Force. Chief Hay has come by train, bus, airplane, and stagecoach all the way from Puckering Valley, 5 miles up the post road, to review with Mr. Lord the strange and inhuman career of Bucktooth Sad the Slasher Thorax. So, Phil, it's up to you.
Thank you, Harry.
Thank you, Phil.
And thank you for thanking me, Harry.
Thank you.
Chief Hay, am I correct when I say that Bucktooth was one of the nastiest criminals in the past decade?
No, I say in the past 10 years. Yes, Mr. Lord, Bucktooth was beastly. He was a nasty man. He was a deadly devil.
Deadly killer, huh, Chief?
You said it.
I said it. Now, look, as I understand it, you first saw Bucktooth,
Your elbow, Chris.
You first saw Bucktooth... begin again. You first saw Bucktooth whatchamacallit.
Third time you first saw Bucktooth.
The whatchamacallit thorax right up in Puckerin Valley in 1892. Is that true?
Yes, he was just a babe in arms at the time, Mr. Lord.
Just a babe.
Yeah, he was running around with his gun mouth even then. He was a cute little rascal, 4 months old.
Well, think of that. Things have happened since then, though, haven't they, Chief?
Yes, Mr. Lord, much stuff has passed under the sea since then. Bucktooth Sad the Slasher and his gun mob were planning their career of crime. It was a hot day in August. Two baby carriages were parked next to each other in a no-parking space. Birds were singing overhead. One baby, a boy, was speaking to another baby, a girl, in the next carriage.
A girl.
Well, I can see that by that, Chief Hay, that things were coming to a pretty pass, even at that early age. A couple of crooners, huh? Then what happened?
Well, P.L., we heard nothing until 18 years later. They caught him stealing peanuts from a peanut butter factory.
Oh, the old shell game, huh, Chief?
Shucks.
So, Bucktooth liked peanuts, huh, Chief?
So they say. There was a rumor around that he liked pecans, but they found he liked peanut butter.
Who's writing your material now, Chief?
Well, it was in a peanut butter factory. Bucktooth and his pal were at the cash register when suddenly... Well, go ahead.
That must have been an awful mess, Chief. How many were killed?
Well, sir, not a shot was fired.
Well, shut my mouth. What happened then?
Well, he was sent up the river for 10 years. The next we heard of him was the day after he went to Sing Sing. Of course, when he got out, he immediately went back to his old pals of the underworld. His best friend at that time was Cuthbert the Gouger. So now, Mr. Lord, we will have a scene where Thad the Slasher and Cuthbert the Gouger are entering a jewelry store with the idea of stealing jewels. A new idea. Listen.
Hey, easy there. Easy, Ted the Slasher, Thorax.
Yeah.
Do you want the whole neighborhood to hear it?
Let up, Cuthbert the Gouger. I guess I know my business. Now, raise the window and get inside.
Okay.
Hey, I don't like the looks of the joint.
Oh, shut up. Now, look, here's the cash register. Let's see. You push the little valve down. Empty, huh? Well, I guess we gotta get the safe. Where's that safe? Have you seen a safe around?
Oh, here it is. To keep the jewels well locked up, there's nothing like a safe for keeping jewels.
Yes, and there's nothing so safe as seeing price pointers, the oatmeal that tastes like cornflakes.
Hey, who is this guy? A copper?
He's just one of them radio advertisers. Go ahead and open the safe. He ain't gonna bother us.
When your little boy comes home early from school in the afternoon after a hard day and he says, "Mother, I'm hungry," what do you do? Tell him he can have anything to eat until dinner time? Perhaps. But if you were a wise mother, you will say to him,
hand me that nitroglycerin.
Is that the end, Chief?
Yes, that's the way it was told to me.
It makes a nice, dull story, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Thanks, Chief. And
yeah.
Now, Harry, if you will, please, I'd appreciate it if you'd announce something about clues, which we always broadcast at the end of our programming.
All right, Bill. We now bring you several honest-to-goodness clues sent in to us from police chiefs all over the country. A clue from the chief of police of Dandruff-on-the-Knob, Nevada.
We want information on Bud, part of the team known as Snagel and Bud, for grand larceny. When last seen, he was jumping off the top story of the Empire State Building with a piece of fly paper in his hand. If located, please gather up the pieces and lose them.
A clue from the chief of police of Puckering-on-the-Valley.
Information wanted on the whereabouts of a man calling himself Colonel Soupnail. He is about 200 feet high and weighs 38 pounds. When last seen, he was wearing umbrellas on his feet and carrying a pair of high-buttoned and brown shoes above his head. If found, please notify. Please notify.
What about his record?
It's broken. It's broken. It's broken. It's broken.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Harry.
Yes, Bud.
Say, since Fred Allen will be back next week, and since this is the last time we'll be on this program with you, the Colonel and I want to know if you'll do us a little favor, would you?
Why, certainly. What is it?
Well, will you give us something to remember you by?
You bet I will. What do you want?
Well, one more talk about Ipana toothpaste.
All right, boys. Ladies and gentlemen, always remember that Ipana is more than a toothpaste. Because when used as massage, Ipana also helps to tone and stimulate your gums. And that is mighty important, because dentists say
the many creamy, well-cooked foods we eat nowadays do not give our gums enough work to do to keep them firm and healthy. So they grow lazy and soft through lack of exercise and stimulation.
And you can supply that stimulation by massaging your gums with Ipana. Put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it into your gums every time you brush your teeth. And in that way, you'll give your gums the toning and stimulation they need to help guard against serious gum trouble. You have healthier gums, bright teeth, and a more attractive smile if you'll always remember Ipana for the smile of duty. Ladies and gentlemen, Town Hall tonight will continue immediately following your station announcement. Town Hall Amateur Contest. We have on our stage again tonight a group of anxious and eager amateurs waiting to compete in our weekly contest. Before Colonel Stupnagel and Bud resume their duties as hosts, let's start these folks off with a rousing Town Hall reception. Now, as usual in the proceedings of our contest, you and our studio audience will act as judges. Your applause, which will be recorded on our sound recording machine, we'll decide the winners of the first prize of $50 in cash and the second prize of $25 in cash. Now here's Bud to introduce our first guest of the evening.
Thank you, Harry, very much. First tonight, before us here in Town Hall, a young man from New York City, Bernie Kay. How are you, Bernie?
How are you, Bud?
Well, welcome to Town Hall. I understand that you're an impersonator.
That's right.
And your nickname is Fats, huh?
Right.
Okay. Well, Bernie, I want you to meet my partner over here. He's a little fat, too.
I'm the muscular one.
Yeah.
Well, Fats, listen, before we start, of course, I'm not going to say anything tonight. This is the last night we're on here. I'm not going to say a thing about the fact that we still believe that people have more fun than anybody, because I got a letter from my sister, and she said we use it too much, see, so I can't say it anymore. But this is the last time that we have these amateurs with us, and we say goodbye with regret. And in case anyone listening in doesn't know what goodbye means, goodbye is what if you're just getting somewhere, hello is better than. Oh, dear. No, I purposely didn't make that very funny because Fred Allen gets on next week and, you know, we don't want to be hard to follow. Well, Pat, here we are back to you again after that funny stuff. Tell me, where do you come from, please?
Well, I was born in Rockaway Beach, Long Island.
Well, that's a nice place to be born in. Mm-hmm. Fred Allen was born. No, he wasn't either. He wasn't born over there. What did you used to do? What was your business?
Well, I got out of high school and I went to work in a fur house.
Fur house? What
yeah.
kind of fur?
What
skunk?
Kind? Skunk? Well, mostly.
Mostly skunk and probably a little mink and a few other things, huh? Did you ever do anything else? Weren't you in the fruit business or something at one time?
Well,
just in a small way?
Yeah, during the summer.
That's so?
I lugged onions.
Lugged onions. I knew you got tired of doing that, huh? Well, you had some of your families in the show business, too, isn't that true?
Well, in a way, yes.
You have
a cousin who's a master of ceremonies in Jersey.
That's so?
And another cousin of mine is connected with RKO.
Oh, really?
Booking offices.
Oh, that's grand. Well, now, Bud, you come and take Bernie and ask him what he's going to sing and stuff.
Yes,
yeah?
Yes, sir, Colonel. Well, Bernie, I understand that you're... quiet, Astaire, quiet. I understand, Bernie, that you're going to offer impersonations of Herman Bing, the young man who sang in the picture, the music goes round and round, and the title of the song is the same.
Right.
And second, you're going to imitate Fats Waller singing Shoeshine Boy.
Correct.
Bernie, go right ahead.
Okay. I blow through here, and the music goes round and round. When it comes out here, I yell. I push the fur vase down, and the music goes round and round. When it comes out here, and then I push the mill vase down, and the music goes round and round. Below, 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 billy ho ho ho. Listen to the yells come out. Then I push the left vase down, and the music goes round and round. When it comes out here,
that's Waller.
Shoeshine boy, you work hard all day. Shoeshine boy, ain't got no time to play. Every nickel has a lot of so shine, shine, shoeshine boy. Yeah, you find joy in the things you do. Shoeshine boy, you're seldom ever blue. You're content with what you got. Ooh. So shine, shine, shoeshine boy. Now the people look at you with scorn because your clothes are worn and torn. Still you never whine, who? Why you keep walking up and down the street? You're pleading with each one you meet. Say, brother, can you spare a shine? Oh, shoeshine boy, soon the day will come and shoeshine boy, soon the tune you'll hum. Every nickel helps a lot, who? So shine, shine, shoeshine, boy. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That was Bernie Kay of New York City, an impersonator. Now standing before me, two gentlemen, two young lads from Astoria, Long Island. Hi, fellas.
Hello.
What are your names, if you...
Joe and Charlie Patello.
Joe and Charlie Patello. And you're equipped with harmonicas, both small and large, huh? You know, my partner claims he's an organist, and maybe is that anything, Colonel? Is a harmonica anything like an organ?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Same thing.
Same thing. Yeah. A little different, boys. How are you, Tommy? I understand that you are in a rather peculiar kind of a business, you two boys. Isn't that true?
That's true.
What do you do, please?
Well, we're tough pitmen for the midget car races in the Madison Square Garden Bowl.
Over in Long Island?
That's right.
You're a pitman, and when the cars break down or anything, they come around to you and you fix them?
And fix them up as soon as possible.
Fix them up as soon as possible. You don't play the harmonicas while you fix them.
Oh,
no. Fix the car. Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
You know those little midget cars that these boys are talking about?
Uh-huh.
How do they go? How do they go? I mean, when you're over there watching, how do they sound?
Quiz.
Oh, that's
marvelous. That certainly is nice. Boys, what are you going to play? Nagasaki, huh?
Nagasaki.
Go to it, please.
Thank you.
very much.
Going, Charles. Hello. That's Story of Long Island. Harmonica duet and the title of the tune, Nagasaki. Now we have two people standing before us here in Town Hall. A young lady by the name of Jane Thompson. Who comes from the Bronx. And a boy by the name of Robert Warren. Incidentally, Robert is a composer. And I believe tonight that he's going to accompany Miss Thompson. And Miss Thompson is going to sing one of Robert's songs. Welcome to Town Hall. I understand you're from Brookline, Massachusetts, originally.
Right.
Well, it's nice having you here. Miss Thompson was born in the Bronx.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's nice having you both. Colonel, come in and meet a couple of nice people here.
Hello, nice people. How are you? We're glad to see you here. Bob, I just want to ask you a couple. You don't mind if I call you Bob? I just want to ask you a couple of questions. You come from the Bronx and stuff, so where'd you go to college, please?
I went to Dartmouth.
To Dartmouth, huh?
Yes.
Graduated when?
1936.
1936. I have a brother, Horace Stoopnagel. Yes, he went there. He went to Dartmouth. He was the class of 23.
Captain of the swimming team.
Captain of the swimming team. Yeah, I don't know if he's still there or not. I'm not sure. Well, tell me, had you composed any others besides the one you're going to play tonight?
Well, yes. A few more or less.
Did you? Would you want to mention any of them, or would you rather just have the one you're going to do?
No, I just want to play.
All right, you're going to play, and the young lady's going to sing.
Yes.
All right.
What's the title of that, Robert?
The title is Get Off My Mind.
Get Off My Mind. You go right ahead. Robert's going over to the piano now. Robert Warren playing his own song, and Jane Thompson singing.
All right.
Someday I'd like to fall in love with someone who believes that love is not just a game, a temporary flame. You seem to think it's quite a sport, and I know that you're just the sort who'd play around until you found another heart to start embracing. Get off my mind before I find that I'm a fool in love. Lord above would never let me be with you on my mind. Stay away from me, for I can see that I'm inclined to fall, and that all would be just misery with you on my mind. You're the one who had your fun when you are through with me, and you're the thought you tell me so, and then one day you'd run away, get off my mind, and stop reminding me that love is sweet. I'm discreet, and that's the reason I say get off my mind.
Thank you very much. That was Jane Thompson, Robert Warren. Robert's own composition, Can't Get You Off My Mind. All right. Now we really have quite a thing here, ladies and gentlemen. Quite a thing. Incidentally, all the way from Bermuda. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And your names, please?
Arthur Smith.
Arthur Smith, and yours?
Nate Smith.
The brother and sister, huh?
Yes, sir.
And from Bermuda?
Yes, sir.
And when did you get up from Bermuda?
About 6 weeks ago.
About 6 weeks. You didn't by any chance, when you were in Bermuda, see anybody with the name of Sylvester Weaver wandering around down there, did you?
No, I haven't.
We have a production man on our show here. He spent his vacation down there at a place called the Coral Island Club. Do you know where the Coral Island Club is?
Yes, sir.
Did you ever go over and have fun over there?
Yes.
Do you know the boss of the place, Jack Green? His real name is Jack Peacock Green.
Yes, we know him.
You do, huh? Mm-hmm. Well, it's the Colonel.
Yeah.
They know Jack Green from Bermuda.
They do. The Coral Island Club, huh?
Yeah.
Boy, can we go there free? By golly, we better. I just want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the two little folks we have here. Are you brother and sister?
Yes, sir.
Brother and sister. Two little colored folks, and very cute. The little girl has a little pretty little pink dress on, and the little boy's all dressed up in long trousers and a bow tie and everything else. And they're going to dance. What are you going to dance? What's the name of your song?
Let
Yourself Go. All right, now go right to it.
Step right the edge of the sun, and let yourself go. Now come,
to live. Can't you hear that hot river? Let's a go, Lord. Let's a go, Snuggie Dan. Let's a go, say we let. Oh, I've got so tied up in a knot. Not in some of the music. Oh, come closer. Don't you get to answer no, sir. Won't you banker, clerk, and go the next of go.
Girl and boy from Bermuda, dancing and singing, Let Yourself Go. Now coming up from Union City, New Jersey. Well, good old New Jersey, my home state. Yeah, Union City's the honor city tonight, too. Harry Steiner. Harry, welcome to Town Hall.
Thank you.
A baritone. Incidentally, that reminds me, sitting out in the audience is a very, very dear, an old friend of mine who comes from Asbury Park, New Jersey, and he's a baritone, too. Bill Jordan, he's sitting out in the audience, so I want you to do a good job because he likes baritone singers. He's quite a singer. Colonel, come in and meet somebody from my home state here.
Hello, somebody from his home state.
How do you do?
Jersey, huh?
Right.
Well, you know, Bud and I are going down to Atlantic City next week for some party given by the governor. Or is that for the governor?
I'm not quite sure whether it's for him or given by him.
You're not, eh?
No.
Oh, gee, I don't know what I'm going to do. You don't know who it is.
It's for Hoffman, though.
For Hoffman. All right, well, what's that got to do with this fellow that's going to sing? Nothing.
Well, Hoffman's the governor in New Jersey, that's all.
Oh. Well, all right. He's a governor. What's he going to sing?
Well, look, Harry, what are you doing?
You know, we don't want to make this too funny, you know.
No. Don't worry, we're not. Harry, what are you going to sing, huh?
One Alone.
One Alone. Harry Steiner of Union City. All right, you go right ahead. Sneak up on me, fellas. I'm a little touchy here. How are you? What is this, the four, what is it again you called
them? Blues Chasers.
The Blues Chasers. Well, welcome to Town Hall. Are you going to sing one of your own compositions, or?
Not one of our own. Don't be afraid to tell your mother.
Don't be afraid to tell my mother, huh?
Anybody's mother. Just don't be afraid to tell your mother.
Don't be afraid to tell my mother it's not one of your own compositions. Colonel, come in and speak to the Blue Blazers here, will you?
Hi, boy.
Hi.
If you don't mind, I'm going to ask you very quickly here just what your names are. There's one fellow here named Hobson somebody. What's your last name?
Broadway.
Hobson Broadway. And you're the first tenor, huh? Where were you born, Hobson?
Greensboro, North Carolina.
Come a little closer.
Greensboro, North Carolina.
And where do you work now?
I can
anywhere. In a drugstore?
Oh, with a shoe
repair. I got them a little mixed up here, yes. Somebody, I've got to get after Uncle Jim. He doesn't give me the right dope on you fellas. Then, There's a second tenor here, Clarence Waters.
Yeah, that's my name.
That's your name, and you got the guitar there, huh?
Guitar.
Second tenor. And what do you do now, please?
Well, I'm unemployed at the present.
Unemployed?
Yes.
Oh, I see. I thought you were in the WPA work.
Yes.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
Well, you can lean on that second tenor there. And, and the next man is Victor Tynes. And you're the baritone, and you were born down in Greensboro, weren't you,
yes,
Victor?
Sir.
And what's your present job?
My present job is a bellboy.
A bellboy out in Harlem, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's fine. And John Adamson?
Right.
You're the basso. Basso, I should say. Basso profundo, huh? And what is your business?
Messenger clerk.
You're a messenger clerk. Well, that's fine. Now we get everything all set. Colored male quartet, ladies and gentlemen, singing Don't Be Afraid to Tell Mother. Okay.
Don't be afraid to tell your mother, afraid that she'll be coming, that you and I are planning a little home. Don't be afraid to tell her phone, she must be going home, for our lives we must live all alone.
Boom, boom, boom,
boom. You tell her that you love me, dear,
boom,
and I'll be waiting at your door.
Boom, boom,
but if I have prayed around a year, I have to say I'm going away and never come back no more.
Boom,
don't be afraid to tell your mother, afraid that she'll be coming, that you and I are planning a little home, I mean. You and I found a little home. If you just tell her that you love me, dear, and I'll be waiting at your door. But if I have to wait around a year, I'll have to say I'm going away and never come back no more.
Boom, boom,
don't be afraid to tell your mother.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That was the Blues Chasers, the colored male quartet from New York, sing Don't Be Afraid to Tell Your Mother. And now, another instrumental group, ladies and gentlemen, the Arrowhead Swingsters, Angelo, Frank, and Mike. Instrumental trio. They're going to do Tiger Rag. Before you begin, boys, the Colonel has just a word to say to you.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you, Colonel. Now, the Arrowhead Swingsters. Now, let's get at that Tiger Rag. One, two, and right in there and fight. Tiger Rag. That concludes our amateur contest, ladies and gentlemen. And now, if you'll excuse Colonel and me, we'll go over to the recording machine and get the results of your applause.
Say, wait just a minute, boys. Before you do, I just want to tell you how much fun it's been working with you on these programs. And speaking of Bristol Myers, our sponsors, I want to thank you with all sincerity for every hour of smiles you brought us during the summer. We all hope your new series of broadcasts will be the most successful you've ever had. And, ladies and gentlemen, may we also thank you for remembering the two products that have made every one of these programs possible. Ipana toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Salpatica for smile of health. Ipana, Salpatica. All right, now, have you fellas got the results ready, or are you ready?
Well, here they are, Harry. Ladies and gentlemen, our applause meter shows that your applause has been heaviest for the acts that have been called back to the stage. Now, as we call the names of these contestants, Harry will hold his hand over their heads, and you may applaud once again for your choice. Proceed, Bud, please. Well, friends, or Colonel, too, we have quite a surprise tonight. We have a triple tie.
Triple tie.
Triple tie. So, we'll be a little tough picking, I suppose. But here we go. First, From the Bronx, New York, the impersonator who did The Music Goes Round and Round and Shoeshine Boy, Bernie Fats K. Next, from Duluth, Minnesota, the boys, the instrumental trio who just played Tiger Rag, the Arrowhead Swingsters. And all the way from Bermuda, the brother and sister who danced and sang Let Yourself Go, May and Arthur Smith. All right, Colonel, now what does the applause meter show?
Well, here's the news, bud. The first prize of $50 in cash goes to the two little folks from Bermuda, May and Arthur Smith.
And the
second prize of $25 in cash goes to Bernie Fat K. Congratulations to both.
Hold it just a minute, Peter, please. Ladies and gentlemen, Soup Nagel and Bud have an announcement to make about their town hall show next week. All right, boys, what's doing for next week?
Oh, boy, are we going to have a terrific show on town hall next week, huh, Colonel?
Yes, sir, the best show in months.
Well, it's not well, fellas. What is it?
Fred Allen will be back.
And so we close the town hall doors on the final show of the summer series, in which Soup Nagel and Bud added so much to our Hour of Smiles. Join us again next week when Fred Allen returns for more Hours of Smiles in the old town hall. Until then, good night.
This is the Red Network National Broadcasting Company.